story, because the clean page is a little bit different than putting it into the story. But so we're going to turn to, in your notes, that first section where it says how to include the gospel in a Bible story. We're going to look at that kind of briefly. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this. I'm going to show you kind of the basics of how to put the gospel into a story. But the notes are very extensive. So if you go back and look over the notes and read through them, there's all the blanks should be filled in with the notes, just so that we don't have to spend a whole lot of time filling them in. But just like Trisha told you, the Bible, the Children's Ministry Resource Bible, that's the one I'm using. It just looks a little bit differently. This has all of the stories in the Bible. It has a lot of the stories of the Bible and puts the gospel into them in the most natural way possible. Okay? The reason why CEF finds it important to put the gospel into Bible stories is because the way children learn is through stories. Children don't learn through facts. They can't relate to facts as well as they can a story. So if you get up let's say you have the Bible lesson. We'll choose a fairly familiar one. Let's say you're teaching the story of Noah's Ark. Okay? Got some pictures here. Let's say you were teaching children the story of Noah's Ark. Now, this goes for children who have grown up in the church or children who haven't. Statistics actually show us that here in South Carolina, 8 out of every 10 children do not attend church. So if you were to have some visitors come to your church, or if you were going to be teaching stories to children, or sharing the message of salvation with children anywhere other than your church, and you're not sure what their home life is like, or who their parents are, or even if you do know, some kids with Christian parents still don't know all the facts of the gospel. It's important to put the gospel into the stories because children learn by stories and children learn by repetition. Whereas adults, we get tired of saying things over and over. Okay? We get tired of saying things over and over. Children need that repetition to learn and to cling to those things so that when they're older, they'll remember them. They'll come back to their mind. So children need repetition, and I'll tell you, probably my biggest push for putting the gospel into stories is when I was in college and in seminary, I was teaching a Good News Club. It was a Bible club where we had children from the local elementary school. They would come to this church, and we would teach them Bible stories, okay? We would teach them Bible stories, and we would put the gospel into the Bible stories. Now, there was one little girl who attended the whole time that I was there. I was there for 6 years teaching the same club. And there's one girl who was there for all 6 years coming to the club every week. She went to church with her parents. Her parents were Christians. She started coming to the club when she was in kindergarten. It wasn't until she was in the third grade that one day I got to the end of the Bible lesson and I gave the invitation where I said, if any of you want to pray to receive Jesus, you want to know how you can do that, I want you to show me by raising your hand, and she raised her hand. And I thought, surely she just has a question or maybe she didn't hear me right, and so I took her back because I thought she was already saved. And I took her back and I said, why did you come back? And she said, because I want to pray to receive Jesus. You see, it wasn't until that moment that was her time, okay? It's not up to us to determine the time for a child to come to Christ. It is always up to God. If we present the gospel, if we present the information to the children, you never know when they're going to respond, and only God knows the heart of a child. Now, you can say the gospel in different ways, but we need to constantly be preaching the gospel to ourselves and to our children so it becomes so familiar to them. And there are so many different ways that you can present the gospel, but putting it in the stories is such an awesome way because kids relate to the characters in the story, and they'll relate to the gospel. So, you don't want to just get up and teach a Bible story. You want to make it a lesson. Because if I was to get up in front of a group of children who did not know the gospel, and I taught the story of Noah's Ark, if after I was done with that story, and that's all I was going to be teaching them, if they were leaving the club and someone asked them, so, what did Jesus do for you? Would they be able to answer based on what I just taught them in the story of Noah's Ark? No, because if you're just teaching the story, Jesus isn't in the story. But we know that every story in the Bible, the whole Bible points to Jesus, doesn't it? So we want these children, we want them to see that everything in the Bible points to Jesus. So we're going to kind of look at how to put the gospel into a Bible story. And there are a couple of reasons I kind of already went over. But one is when you put the gospel into a Bible story, it helps the child's attention span, because when you're telling a story to a child, kind of like how I told you with the wordless book, children are waiting to hear that climax. They're waiting to hear that end of the story. When you're putting the gospel into a Bible story, children, they're going to listen to get to the end of the story, because they're going to be like, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? So they're going to listen very carefully because they want to know what happens to the story. They relate to the story. So putting the gospel into the story rather than teaching a story and then saving the whole gospel for the end, if you do that, then their attention span has dropped tremendously. Okay? A child's attention span is usually only as many minutes as their age. So if you're teaching a class of 5-year-olds, maybe their attention span is 5 minutes. It might be less. But generally, a child's attention span is as many minutes as their age. So if you're teaching a story to children and you put facts into that story that relate to the child, they're going to learn it so much better than if you save all the facts for the end. All right? So that's why you want to put it throughout the story. And they're going to pay attention because they want to reach that that final ending, the ending. They want to hear how it, what happens. Also, the story relates to the gospel. Every story has a problem, has a solution. The stories in the Bible have a place where you can show that God loves that character. And those are all the places where we're going to find natural fits for the gospel. So the story relates to the gospel. So, I'm going to skip down to this one. So, when you are preparing to teach a Bible story to children, the first thing, just like before you share the gospel with a child, is you've got to pray for yourself, but you also need to prepare. You've got to study, know the materials, put the gospel in the lesson, and practice, okay? Practicing out loud, again, is one of the most important things. Before you teach your Sunday school class, before you teach a Bible club, before you teach a story to children, you've got to practice out loud, because that is going to help you be so much more clear to the children. Okay? It's going to help you to be more focused and to be able to be clear with those kids. So you're going to need to study. You're going to read the story from your Bible, and again, you know, I think Trisha said that each of the leaders, each class gets a Bible, the Children's Ministry Bible. Read it from the Bible first, okay? Read it from God's Word first, because God's Word is the material for your class, okay? God's Word, not your Sunday school curriculum, that's not the material. That's the material to help you teach this to the children, right? So if God's Word is primary and important, you read the story from His Word first. And then you're going to identify those characters, places, and the time as you're reading, just becoming familiar with the story as much as possible. So when you're going to put the gospel into a story, which again is a very important thing to do because this is how kids will relate to the story, they'll relate to the gospel, and their attention span will be focused the whole time because they want to know what happens in the story. So, You're going to look for the problem in the story, okay? You're going to look for the problem in the story. Now, these are some blanks kind of on the second page where it says under step three, look for the problem that needs to be solved in your story. And in the story of Noah's Ark, what is the problem? What's the problem in the story of Noah's Ark? Yes. Oh, the flood, that is a problem. What's a problem that might relate to sin, or sickness, or evil? Yes. That's right. You want to look for the problem in the story that relates to the child's problem of sin. And it can be a problem, it could be a sickness. But in the story of Noah's Ark, the problem was the people were evil. They were evil, there was so much evil on earth that when God looked down, he saw that the only solution was to have the flood. So, when you find the problem in the story, what gospel point do you think you're going to make when you find the problem in your story? What natural part of the gospel can you teach here? The dark page, okay? So, what you're doing is you're telling the kids, back then, these people, they were very, very evil. They were doing very wicked things. Did you know they aren't the only ones who do wicked things? Did you know that you and I, we also do things that make God unhappy? The Bible calls that sin. And sin is anything you think, say, or do that makes God unhappy. So you see how I went from talking about the people in Noah's time, about their sin, and I started talking to the child about your sin. Okay? That's what you want to do. You want to relate the gospel to the story by finding that problem, and then you can go back and talk about all of those points from the dark page when you talk about that problem the people had with sin. Okay? So, you could teach. You don't have to necessarily hold up your wordless book and say, the dark page says, but you can use your bookmark, and when you're talking about the sin that the people in Noah's time had, and you say, just like they have sinned, you also have sinned, and the Bible talks about sin. And you can use those same points from your bookmark to talk to the children about their problem of sin. Now, you can use different verses. You don't always have to. You don't want the children to think there's only one verse in the Bible that talks about sin. You can use other verses. Romans 6:23 is another verse you could use about sin. But there's other verses you can use, but you still can remind those children about those points, the definition of sin, giving some examples, that they were born with sin, the punishment for sin, and then you'll go back into teaching your story, okay? So you're going to find the problem in your story and relate that problem to the child's problem of sin. So you see how that's kind of an easy way to put the gospel into a story. Once you find the problem, though, you've got to find where the solution is offered. So in the story of Noah's Ark, what was the solution offered in the story? Yes. That's exactly right. The Ark. The Ark is the offered solution in Noah's Ark. God told Noah to build the Ark. The Ark was the only way for Noah and his family to be saved from the flood. What's the only way for us to get rid of our sin? Jesus. That's right. So you see how this is a natural place in the story where you can teach the child what Jesus did for you. Okay? Just like the ark was the only way for Noah and his family to be saved from the flood, Jesus is the only way for you to be saved from your sin. And Jesus, He was God's perfect son. He died on the cross and gave his blood. And you're going to teach all those points from the red page to the child at this point in the story. Okay? So this is another way you can put the gospel into your story. You find that solution. Then you're also going to find a place to put God's love in the story. Where do you think in the story of Noah's Ark is love shown? Where God shows his love? Yes. That's exactly right. Sparing Noah and his family. So at the point where you tell the children, God, he loved Noah. He loved Noah. And so God made a way for Noah and his family to be saved from the flood. Just like God loves Noah, God loves you too. And then what are we going to teach the child about at this point? What gospel points are we going to teach them? From what page? Not the red page. That's right, the gold page. Because just like God loved Noah, God loves you too. God loves you so much because he made you. And God is holy. He is a perfect God. And isn't it amazing that a perfect God loves you so much, just like he loved Noah? Okay? So you see how you can take the story and put those gospel points into your story and relate it to the child. Relate it to the child. And you can, like I said, use your bookmarks for all of those points and just look for verses. And if you use the Children's Ministry Resource Bible, you'll see in some places they have the gospel symbols in here, and they'll use different verses. So this is very helpful for you if you're looking for other verses to use to teach kids about sin, about God's love, about what Jesus did for them. Then you can use the verses that are in this Bible. You can even look for the story that you're going to be teaching from your Sunday school materials. Find the story in your Children's Ministry Resource Bible, and then look and see what verses and what gospel points that they're including in your story. Because, again, it is so important. Children learn through repetition, and you never know when God is going to call that child's eyes to be open to their own sin and their need for Jesus. And we want to always have ready and available the gospel in a clear way so that those children can receive Christ when that time comes. So that's how you can kind of put, and I wanted to talk about that here, because it's mainly those three pages of the wordless book that you're going to be putting into the story. Is that gold page, where God shows his love to the character, the dark page, where the problem in the story is, and then the red page, where the solution is in the story. And that's where you're putting the gospel in. And then when you're done telling your story at the very end, then you can give an invitation. And giving an invitation to the children, you want to teach them a verse that talks about what they must do to be saved, such as Acts 16:31, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. And you're going to tell that to the kids and explain to be saved from your sin means to believe in Jesus, to ask Jesus to be your Savior from your sin. And maybe you've never done that before. Maybe you want to do that now and want to come talk to me about it, okay? So you're going to just tell those kids how they can be saved, what they must do, and then inviting them to come and talk to you at the end of your story, okay? So that's sort of how you can incorporate what we're teaching you today, not just being able to share the gospel one-on-one with a child or teaching them the wordless book in a group, but how you could use this every week in your lessons to teach the gospel in different ways. And maybe each week you want to emphasize a different part of the gospel, you know? Maybe putting those same points in there. But maybe one week, if you're teaching the story of Noah's Ark, that's a great story to really emphasize that Jesus is the only way. Just like the ark is the only way for Noah and his family to be saved, Jesus is the only way for you to be saved, okay? So keep that in mind as you're studying your materials, and that's why it's important to have resources and to practice ahead of time so that you can really be clear when you're teaching these children, okay? So I wanted to kind of go over that. And, of course, there's more in your notes that explain exactly what to do as far as putting the gospel into a lesson. And I even have in your notes a page that talks about doing the invitation. There's different steps in there. That number 5, it says put the invitation at the very end of your lesson. And there's 5 steps that you can take to do an invitation. So I just wanted to make sure that I got that information across to you just so that you can utilize the gospel in your stories. And you can do this even at home with your own children. You know, if you're reading to them stories from the Bible and you want to incorporate the gospel into a story, finding that problem, the offered solution, and God's love, finding those natural places in the story to put the gospel, that is a wonderful thing to do. And I just taught you in 10 minutes what it usually takes us 6 hours to teach people. So I know that that's just a tiny taste of how to do this. But, again, you can use resources like this. And there's other teaching tools in here, too, that teach you how to put the gospel into your story. So I definitely wanted to get that in while we stand. So what I want to do now is go over the last 2 pages of the wordless book. We're going to do the clean page. The clean page. So if you want to turn back in your notes, to where the wordless book is. We're going to look at the clean page now. When you're teaching the gospel to a child and you finish the red page and you say, but God has a wonderful plan, and there's only one way, and that is through Jesus, for you to have your sins forgiven. When you get done with the red page and you get to the clean page, this is very important. The thing you want to always start off the clean page with, because this is the invitation for the child to receive Christ, you want to make sure that the first thing you do is to go to God's Word. Because when you're talking about the clean page, again, we're not talking about the color of the page, even though it's white. We're not talking about the color, we're talking about the condition. We're talking about just like our hearts are dark with sin, we're going to be talking about how they can be cleaned from their sin. So that's why the clean page is white. But again, we're going to refer to it as the clean page and not the white page. But the first thing you're going to do is go to God's Word. The clean page is where Satan will attack the most. I can't tell you how many stories that I've been through or heard where the gospel has been presented to a group of children, and then you get to the clean page, and there's some sort of distraction. I was actually at a club one time teaching, and we got to the clean page, and the ice cream truck drove up. And every single one of the kids who was sitting there listening to the gospel presentation got up and ran over to the ice cream truck. They didn't. So that was even more curious why they all got up and ran. But things like that are why it's important to keep your entire time of sharing the gospel in prayer before God. Because you want to pray that God will keep those distractions away as much as possible. And not for you to be afraid of this page. That's not the purpose. But for you to know, this is serious, and this is when Satan doesn't like what you're saying. Okay? Because this is when you are really inviting that child to receive Christ, to become part of God's family. So keep this covered in prayer and keep Scripture first thing on this page. Okay? So the verse that we typically use for the clean page is John 1:12. Okay? John 1:12. So when you get to the clean page, you're going to pick up your Bible and turn to John 1:12. And John 1:12 says, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Now, if you only read that verse to the child and said, okay, are you ready? that would be a problem because there's a lot of big words in there and a lot of things that a child might not understand. So you're going to read John 1:12 and then you're going to explain what John 1:12 means. And in CEF, we say that we explain the clean page, we explain John 1:12 using the ABCs because this is just an easy way to remember how to explain John 1:12 to a child. The ABCs. I like to use my hands too to show some sign language. So I'm going to show you A, B, and C in sign language. And you can use this when you're talking to the child because it'll help them remember too what this verse means. So an A is when you put your thumb up right here on kind of making a fist. So the A stands for admit. Can you all say that with me? Admit. Now, even that word admit is kind of a big word for a child. So you're going to tell them, admit, this means to tell God, God, I'm sorry for my sin. Admit that you're a sinner. Tell God, I know I've done bad things. Okay? So that's what the A stands for. Then the next letter is B. You all know how to make a B in sign language? Just like this. So the B stands for believe. Say that with me. Believe. You've got to believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, that he was buried and rose again to take the punishment for your sins. So believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and rose again. All right? Then C, pretty self-explanatory there. The C stands for call. Okay, say that with me. Call. Now, this is another word that you kind of think, oh, calling on God, I know what that is. But to a child, if you're saying that you're going to call on God, a lot of times they think you're going to pick up your cell phone and call someone on your phone. Okay? So you're going to explain call means to pray. You're going to pray and ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Okay? So C stands for call, pray, and ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Now, even Lord and Savior, I like to explain to a child. I usually tell them that Lord means keeping Jesus number one in your life, and Savior means save me from my sins. Okay? So I say Lord is just asking Jesus to be number one in your life and Savior, save me from my sin. So you're going to explain John 1:12 using those ABCs. Admit that you're a sinner. Believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and then call, pray, and ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Yes. Oh, you're just practicing. Yes. That's okay. So you're going to go through those ABCs with the child and explain to them John 1:12. All right? It's very important to be clear here with asking a child if they want to receive Jesus. Because again, we don't want to force a child to pray. We don't want the child to feel bad if they don't want to pray. Okay? They need to know it's okay if they don't want to do this. Alright? You're just asking them if it's something they want to do right now with you. So that's why it's also important to be really clear with what you're saying. Because if they decide not to pray with you, they could go home and do it. That's how I became a believer, was I did it on my own. I was 6 years old, and I did it in bed one night. I don't know what I had heard. I can't remember what I had heard that day. But I didn't do it with an adult. I didn't sit down and do it with an adult. I did it on my own. So you want these kids to know the steps, what they need to do. We want them to understand what God's Word says that we must do to be saved, and then for them to be able to do it whether it's with you or at home on their own, okay, or with their parents. We just want to make everything very clear. So the next thing you're going to do is you're going to ask the child. That's another blank in your notes. Ask the child if they would like to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And ask them, have you ever done this before? Have you ever done this before? That's important too. But it's even more important to, if they say, yes, I've done this before, to not just say, oh, that's wonderful, that's so great that you've done this before. What you want to ask them is, when and where did you do it? Okay? Because I've had children before who come up to me and I've asked them, you know, have you ever done this before? Have you ever prayed and asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior before? Oh, yes, yes. Well, when and where did you do it? Oh, I do it every night before I go to bed. Well, that child particularly thought that praying was the same thing as asking Jesus to be their Lord and Savior. And they were praying every night before they went to sleep. And they thought that that's what I was talking about, okay? So don't assume that when you say, have you ever done this before, that when if they say yes, that they really have done it. Now, some kids will know. They'll say, oh, yes, I did it last year at VBS. I've had kids tell me that before. And then you say, well, that's great. That's wonderful. This is God's promise to you that he will never leave you, okay? And just go through some assurance with that child. But if they don't know or don't remember or they give you an answer where you think, I don't know that they understand that praying every night before they go to bed is different than praying and receiving Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So you're going to ask that child if they want to receive Jesus and then ask them, have you ever done this before? And then see what they say. If they say no, I've never done it before, but yes, I want to do it now, then you're not going to just drop everything and pray right then. A lot of us, sometimes, we have great intentions, and we're just like, we're going to get this kid saved, all right? And you kind of want to jump on it. But it's very important that you make sure the child understands. So, the next thing you're going to do is, after you ask them, and they say, yes, I want to pray to receive Jesus, and I've had kids who are so eager before. I had this one boy, he started repeating after everything I said, just because he was, like, ready to get to it, you know? But we want to make sure they understand, so the next step is asking review questions. So you're going to review with questions. And you're going to ask questions. There's some questions in your notes that you can use. You're going to ask them questions that don't have yes or no answers. You never want to lead a child. This is leading a child. Have you sinned? Did Jesus die on the cross for your sins? Does God love you? That's leading a child, okay? Those questions do not tell you if the child has understood what you taught. Questions that help you to understand that the child knows what you've taught would be, what is sin? And wait for them to answer. Don't give them the answer. If they can't answer any of your review questions, then that could cause you to go back and reteach some of those truths. Okay? Because there's some point where the child didn't understand. So that's why you ask review questions. Asking them, have you ever sinned? Now, what if the child says, no, I've never sinned? Do you just move on? No, what should you do? Yeah, explain it. Point back to God's word and say, remember how I said, for all have sinned, and this is in God's word. Does all include you? Well, yeah, it does. Well, then that means that you, too, have this problem of sin. So, make sure that that child recognizes that they are a sinner before you move on, because a child cannot receive Jesus if they can't admit that they've sinned. Because why does a child need Jesus if they don't believe that they have sinned? We can't force them to understand that. Yes. What receive means? Yeah, I explain receive with the C. Call and ask Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. Telling Jesus, I want you to be my Savior, and I want you to be number one in my life, okay? Because a child can understand the concept of following Jesus with their heart, and following Jesus means receiving Jesus is calling upon him and saying, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord and Savior. I want you to save me from my sins. I want you to be number one in my life. It's very hard to use terms like, I stay away from telling children to ask Jesus to come into your heart. I stay away from terms like that. Because I've actually had a child cry before because they thought that a man was going to try to step on their chest to try to get inside their heart. Okay? So I try to stay away from things like into my heart because, again, children are literal. And when you say something to them, they can't think in metaphors. They can't think abstractly. They think literally. So if you're thinking in terms of literal, when you're telling a child and teaching them to receive Jesus, you're going to talk to them in terms of praying and telling Jesus, Jesus, I want you to be my Savior. I want you to save me from my sins, and I want you to be my Lord. I want you to be number one in my life so that I follow you. Okay? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mhm. Yeah. Mhm. Yes. Right. Mhm. Yeah, and we'll get that a little later with the assurance part. But yeah, definitely. And it's important for kids to understand, you know, what it really does mean to call upon Jesus, to call and to ask him to pray and ask him to be your Lord and Savior. And I think there's a quote from Louis Giglio, I think, who once said that salvation is not based on saying the perfect prayer. It's based on putting your trust in the perfect Jesus. Okay? It's not the words that save us, because then that's something we have done to get salvation. It's putting our trust in the perfect Jesus. So that's the important thing to remember, that we're teaching these children to put their trust in the perfect Jesus. Review questions help us to determine if the child understands this, okay? So, again, if a child does not answer one of these questions to a point where you think, oh, yes, I can see how they understand. If they stumble or answer something that you think is not quite right, then you need to go back and reteach some of those truths from the other pages before you go on, okay? So that's why review questions are very important. Is determining where that child's understanding is. So you're going to review with questions. And then what I usually do is I review the ABCs again after we go through the questions. Usually the last question is, would you like to do that now? Would you like to pray right now and ask Jesus to be your Savior, to tell him in a prayer that you want him to save you from your sins and to be the Lord of your life, or be number one in your life? So I'll go through those ABCs again, and I'll explain to them what prayer is. Because I've had children before, too, where I said, okay, now let's pray. And then they started crying. There's one little girl in particular who started crying. And the teacher who was working with her said, why are you crying? And the girl said, I've never prayed before, and I don't know how. So even prayer, you want to explain, prayer is just talking to God. Just like you talk to me, that's how you talk to God. So tell them that prayer is just talking to God and reviewing those ABCs before you pray with them, okay? Now, there's a paragraph in here about not doing a repeat after me prayer, and the reason why repeat after me prayers are kind of discouraged is when you allow the child to say in their own words what they want to come across to God about how they want Jesus to be their Savior, they want Jesus to be Lord of their life, when they say it in their own words, again, it takes the focus off of the prayer saving the child and puts the focus on the fact that it's God saving the child. When you do a repeat after me prayer, if the child stumbles over the words, doesn't say them exactly right, or even if they say it correctly, they might think that those words that they repeated after you are what saved them. Okay? And we never want a child to think that. So allowing them to say to God in their own words, it allows them to express their personal trust in God. And it also allows us to, again, see that they understand what it means to put their faith in God, to call on Him and ask Him to be the Lord and Savior of their life, okay? So I greatly discourage repeat after me prayers for that reason. And some of you might have come to Christ through a repeat after me prayer, and sometimes, you know, God can really use, I mean, God uses all sorts of situations to bring people into His kingdom, doesn't He? But I usually discourage teachers from doing repeat after me prayers for that reason, because so much emphasis is placed on saying the correct words when we know that it's really about putting our faith in the perfect Jesus. So once a child prays, then you want to make sure that you give them assurance of salvation. As a child, I told you I prayed when I was 6 years old. I probably prayed 50 times after that. Just because I lacked assurance, I wasn't sure that I was completely saved. So I asked Jesus to be my Savior a lot, because I just wasn't sure that I was doing it right, because I was putting a lot of emphasis on the words I was saying, on what I heard other people talking about, or my actions. Whenever I sinned, I felt really bad, and I felt like I didn't deserve to go to heaven again. So those are all reasons why you have to give the child assurance. And in CEF, we are big believers in emphasizing assurance. So you want assurance to be based on the Word of God, not on you. You don't want that child to think, I'm a Christian because Miss Erin told me I'm a Christian. No. You want that child to know that they are a Christian because God's Word says it. Because John 1:12 says, to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Show that child, you did this. You received Jesus. You prayed and asked Jesus to save you from your sins. And you believed that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And so now, because you did this, because you did what God's Word says, you are now a child of God. So you want to show them from Scripture so that they have that assurance based on God's Word and not on you confirming that they are a believer, okay? So you want to make sure that you take them back to God's Word, and you can ask them, whose child are you now, and how do you know? And hopefully they'll say, because God's Word, the Bible tells me. You can even put their name in John 1:12 just as an assurance. Just to further their assurance by saying something along the lines of, yet to Aaron who received Him, to Aaron who believed in His name, He gave Aaron the right to become a child of God. Okay? Putting that child's name in the verse just further confirms you did what this verse says, and God's promise to you is that you will become a child of God. So you just want to make sure that these kids, they have that assurance based on God's Word. Another verse that's very important to teach to the children is Hebrews 13:5. And Hebrews 13:5 and 6. There's not a bookmark for Hebrews 13:5 and 6, but I have a post-it note in my Bible that marks it. So you might want to do that, or you can make your own bookmark for Hebrews 13:5 and 6. But don't neglect it, because listen to what this verse says to the child. Hebrews 13:5, and I'm just going to read a portion of this verse. I will never leave you. Now, isn't that something that these children need to know? That if they have received Jesus, He will never leave them. And then the next verse, Hebrews 13:6, a portion of that verse says, the Lord is my helper. So, once a child becomes a Christian, once they become a believer, God, they need to understand that God is going to help them to choose to do the right thing. Okay? That He is there to help them and to help them say no to sin and to help them follow Him. So these are very important verses for the child to know that Jesus, now that they are a Christian, now that they are a child of God, He will never leave them. I show kids on their hands a reminder of this verse. So everyone hold up your left hand, and we're going to, for every finger, have a different word from the verse. So we're going to say, I will never leave you. Now this time, I want you to put your name where we say you, okay? So everyone say your own name instead of saying you. I will never leave Aaron. That's right. Doesn't that make it so personal when you say your name? Jesus will never leave you. Now take your other hand. This is Hebrews 13:6. The Lord is my helper. Now, instead of saying my, I want you to say your name, okay? So instead of saying my helper, you're going to say your name. The Lord is Aaron's helper. The Lord is there to help you to choose to do the right thing. He's there to help you whenever you ask Him to. So you want the child to really understand that when they ask Jesus to be their Lord and Savior, He will always be their Lord and Savior. Always. And once you teach them Hebrews 13, 5, and 6, then you're going to link from the clean page to the green page by saying, now that you're a child of God, He wants you to grow to know Him better. He wants you to grow to know Him better. And the green page is just further assurance to the child about their salvation and the next steps they need to take to grow. So it's kind of connected to the clean page. Now, the green page, one of the things that you really want to emphasize on the green page is that even though you're a Christian, you'll still sin. You'll still mess up. I usually tell the kids, I've been a Christian for a long time, and I still mess up. I still do the wrong thing. But does that mean God leaves me? No. Because remember, I will never leave you. But it does mean that when I do something wrong, I need to confess it. I need to ask God for forgiveness. Because God wants you to try to do the right thing. When you ask Jesus to be your Lord, you're saying, be number one in my life. I will follow you and obey what the Bible says. But if you don't think that you're going to live a perfect life from now on. Just remember this verse. That's why you want to approach everything. That blank there in your notes is, approach the subject of confession from a positive perspective. Okay, positive perspective. If you choose to sin, God's Word tells you what to do about it. So you're going to read them 1 John 1:9 that says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now that's a big verse, so you're going to want to break it down and tell the child. What that means is, now that you're a Christian, if you do mess up, if you do something wrong from now on, all you have to do is tell God, God, I'm sorry, ask for forgiveness. Ask Him to help you to do the right thing next time, okay? So, have the child understand that this verse means if you do mess up, just tell God, God, I'm sorry for my sins, I need you to forgive me, and I need you to help me to choose to do the right thing, because God is their helper now to help them to choose to do the right thing. So have them pray that, and that verse is just further confirmation that you're not perfect. You're not perfect. Even though you're a Christian, you're not going to live a perfect life, but God still wants you to choose to do the right thing and to ask for forgiveness if you do mess up. Kids need to know it's okay if they mess up. You might have kids come back because they want to talk to you and say, I don't think I'm a Christian anymore because I did something really, really bad. And they need to understand that God will forgive them. Okay? We need to really make sure that we explain this verse to them, 1 John 1:9. Then you're going to explain the four ways to grow in Christ. And we use the word grow to show the ways that they can grow as a believer. The G stands for go to church and Sunday school to learn more about Jesus and how he wants you to live. The R is to read God's word each day, to read the Bible each day, and to pray, talking to God about how you think and feel. You can show them in God's word, when you're talking about reading God's word every day, you can ask the child, how old are you? And maybe they say, I'm 8. Well, then you could say, since you're 8 years old, every day you could read 8 verses from your Bible. Okay? And you can even tell them that they can start in the book of Mark, because that is one of the Gospels, and you can tell them that they can start in the book of Mark and every day read 8 verses, and then when they turn 9, they can read 9 verses, and certainly they can read more, but it's just a way to encourage them to read God's word every day. And then the next letter, obey. Don't just read God's word. You got to do what it says. When you ask God, when you ask Jesus to be Lord of your life, number one in your life, you're telling him that you will obey him. You will follow him. And then the W, witness to others. Tell others about Jesus. Just like I'm telling you about Jesus, tell others about Jesus. And you also want to encourage that child to tell someone, a trusted adult that you know, to go and tell them what they did that day. To tell them, encourage them, I want you to go and tell Miss Trisha that you became a child of God today, so that that child's first experience telling someone that they're now a Christian is a positive experience. Some kids might go home, and they might not have a positive experience telling their parents that they're a believer. But if right then and there you encourage that child to tell somebody, that helps start a good habit of sharing with others if they are a believer. Okay? So you want to encourage them to tell somebody. You can also give the child something like a track. CEF has some first steps tracks for children. They're in the catalog. You can order these, or you might find some other good tracks that are simple that you can buy at the Christian bookstore that you could give to the child. But you want to give them something that reminds them what they did that day. These particular tracks, the reason I like these is it has a space in here where it says, today I became part of God's family, and they can write their name and date. So they can always remember the day that they became part of God's family, and then they can put it in their Bible. So you can give them something to kind of remind them what they did that day. You know, with the child, the important thing with the clean and the green page is just that invitation to receive Christ, making sure they understand what they are doing and understand how they can grow as a Christian, how they can grow as a believer by going to church, reading and reading their Bible and praying, obeying what they read, and telling others about Jesus. And I think the next couple pages in your notes are, it says the wordless book evaluation. Is that right? Is it in here? Okay. So, with the wordless book evaluation, what this is an encouragement to you to practice with somebody. Okay? Because what you will want to do is, what you'll do is give this to somebody, whether it's a friend, it could be someone in here. You would want to give them this paper, and then you share with them the wordless book as if you were sharing with a child, and then they'll go through and mark the points, and then afterwards you can kind of look at those points and see what areas you might need to work on that weren't very clear. But this is just another way for you to be encouraged to practice out loud, and to use this so that you can make sure that you're keeping all of those points very, very clear and with a child able to understand. Maybe having the other person just really think, how would a child think? You know, if I say this, what would a child think? And to really take some good notes. But that's what the evaluation form is for you to practice out loud with somebody and to kind of look over this. I know we're running short on time, but does anyone have any questions about the wordless book or anything that we've gone over today? Yes. Yeah, what you do is you cover this page in prayer. You try to get through the distractions as much as possible. Try and keep the child focused on what you're teaching. The other thing to remember is if you know what you're going to say very well and you've practiced a lot, this goes back to just practicing. The more you practice, the more you know what to say, and the more focused you will be. Because when distractions come, you as the teacher are distracted too, right? If you know what you're going to say very well, and you're confident in your words, then you can hold that child's attention better. So even though distractions might come, if you know what you're going to say, and you've practiced it over and over again, then you're going to be confident in what you say, and the child will listen to you more. Okay? So if you know what to say, then those distractions, they'll still be there. You just pray through them, try your best to get through, and again, that's why it's important to practice and to know this stuff very, very well. So that's a good question. Are there any other questions? Yes? A model? Oh, a motto. Oh, yes. We have, let me think of what it is. To evangelize boys and girls in the gospel, to establish them in a local church, and to disciple them in the Word of God is the motto for Child Evangelism Fellowship. So to evangelize boys and girls with the gospel, establish them in a local church, and disciple them in the Word of God. So that's our ultimate goal. The last thing that I want to talk about is our summer program for all of you who are in middle school or for any of you who have children who are ages 14 through college age. This is a program for college students as well. We train students to do this, to go out into the community and to teach Bible lessons to children, putting the gospel in the Bible lesson, and then they go out into daycares, community centers, churches, neighborhood homes, and they teach Bible clubs to these children, and they can counsel a child. They'll use the wordless book, and we usually have around 25 students from different churches all over Columbia come and participate in this program, and they work with around 2,100 children. So over 2,000 children every summer are reached through this program. It is a wonderful tool for anyone who has high school, college students that you that have a heart for the Lord and who want to make a difference in the community for Christ. So the table back there has a lot of, there's a display board and there's pictures from the past few summers and there's some information. This blue piece of paper has our website. So for any of you who want our website, there's more teacher resources on our website, so if you want to pick that up and look at some of our teacher resources. But also, there's this brochure if any of you have high school or college students interested in the summer program. It's called CYIA, Christian Youth in Action. You can pick up one of these brochures. It just talks about the program, the requirements, a little bit more about it. And, of course, you can always call our office and ask us if you have any questions. But I did want to mention that because this, we train the students in 1 week. So we take an entire week to train them on how to teach the Bible lessons and how to share the gospel with a child. So I did want to just briefly mention that as well. And just to encourage you all to, again, I apologize that we ran out of time and we aren't able to practice more, but really take the time to practice out loud. That's why I gave you the evaluation form so that you can practice with someone else, sit down one-on-one with them and go over those gospel points and to really practice even for you teachers who are going to be teaching Sunday school classes, putting the gospel in your lesson or teaching, you become such a more confident teacher, and children, they can tell who has confidence and who doesn't when you get up and teach. And they'll listen to someone. You'll find that you'll have less discipline problems. If you are prepared and have practiced, you'll have less discipline problems because you can capture children's attention when you know what you're going to say. So just kind of my plug for being prepared and for practicing ahead of time. But I appreciate all of you being so attentive and for coming today and for just wanting to share this important message with children. So thank you for the work that you're already doing and will continue to do. So, yes, thank you.